I was about to say before I was rudely interrupted, Stephen Stills, who else was in it? Neil Young was in that group, Buffalo Springfield. A lot of big people there. Hey, coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to Denise Lockwood, founder of Racine County. I got a whole bunch, a plethora of things to bring up, including a special event coming to Racine. So we're going to talk about all that coming up. But first, it's 7 o'clock. Let's check news. Here's CBS.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A brand new round of government firings could come at midnight. That's Elon Musk's deadline for millions of federal employees to explain what they did at work last week or risk losing their jobs. Republican Senator John Curtis on CBS's Face the Nation.
If I could say one thing to Elon Musk, it's like, please put a dose of compassion in this. These are real people. These are real lives. These are mortgages. It's a false narrative to say we have to cut and you have to be cruel.
President Trump posted a SpongeBob meme overnight, poking fun at the outrage over Musk's demands. Almost all USAID workers are on their way out. Correspondent Christopher Cruz from Washington.
The agency told its employees it was starting the process by cutting about 2,000 jobs in the U.S. A version of the notice posted later on the USAID website lowered that number to 1,600. Almost everyone else is being put on leave and are likely to be fired as well.
Pope Francis remains in critical condition at a hospital in Rome. CBS's Chris Livesay is there.
Last night, blood tests revealed early signs of kidney failure. On Saturday, the Pope needed high-flow oxygen and blood transfusions after suffering an asthma-like respiratory crisis. Serious for anyone, critical for an 88-year-old already missing part of a lung that was removed when he was a young man.
Pope developed double pneumonia after he checked into the hospital for a respiratory infection 10 days ago. Germany's conservative opposition won yesterday's national election, coming in second, a party that hews closer to Trump-Musk political leanings. Correspondent Holly Williams in Berlin.
The Alternative for Germany, or AfD, are far-right, anti-immigration, and want closer ties with Russia. And they have the support of Elon Musk.
Israel and Hamas are blaming each other for violating the first phase of the Gaza ceasefire, which is set to expire this week. The BBC's Yolande Nell is in Jerusalem.
A senior Hamas official, Bassam Nayim, said Israel's postponement of the release of Palestinian prisoners exposed the entire agreement to grave danger and called on mediators, especially the U.S., to pressure Israel. Last week, Hamas returned 6 living hostages and the bodies of 4 others.
If you have young children, it may be wise to talk to them about dollars and cents. New survey finds they're more likely to get pay raises when they grow up. Bankrate's Alex Gailey.
I would emphasize to parents who have kids, talking about money early on and as much as possible can make a huge difference in your children's financial outcomes later in life.
S&P futures are up 33. Dow futures ahead, 336. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The man who died in that Racine County house fire Thursday night was renovating the home. 38-year-old Jeffrey Paradise from Black River Falls was the owner of a construction company. He was found dead inside what was initially believed to be a vacant home. Paradise was reportedly doing repairs, and investigators say space heaters were found where he was sleeping. The exact cause of the fire and his death remain under investigation. In a statement, Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmaling is expressing condolences to Paradise's friends and family. A 5-year contract stalemate between the city of Racine and its police union continues, with possible movement. The primary point of contention is with retired officers' health care benefits. The Common Council last week decided to involve 2 city committees in providing contract status updates. It's hoped that may offer a path forward in negotiations. A father and a daughter injured in that Racine house fire explosion last week are making progress in their recovery. Tim LaPointe has already been released from the hospital, and Michelle Hawes, his daughter, is getting treatment for burns covering 30% of her body. Neighbors played a big role in rescuing those victims from that burning home on Gilson Street last week. The Milwaukee Brewers have made their commemorative Bob Uecker patch available for purchase. It costs $12, with proceeds benefiting Uecker's preferred charities. The patch features Uecker's signature over a baseball and plaid. The team will wear the patch throughout this season to honor the late Hall of Fame broadcaster. Fans can get the patch at the team's store. WRJN will start with Spring Brewers baseball this Saturday. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Bucks winning with backups. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston today to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Damian Lillard has been limited with a hamstring injury and marveled how backup guard Kevin Porter Jr. took over the game after being traded here from the Clippers.
I think, first of all, it was fun to watch. I think when you are a star in this league, a lot of times the weight of the game shifting is on you. KP scoring, from being able to see him since he was in high school to college to even, you know, his time in the NBA. I've seen him many times have huge nights.
Kevin Porter Jr., nicknamed Scoot, on what it's been like since he arrived in Milwaukee.
As soon as I came in here, I felt very welcome. And that's big. That's huge. Especially when you got people like Giannis, Dame, Doc, a winning organization, you know, the fan base, you know, how Milwaukee has welcomed me. And it's been beautiful, honestly. So I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
That's Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, good morning, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, we'll have partly sunny skies, a little breezy out of the southwest, and highs in the mid-40s. Slight chance of rain tonight, partly cloudy, 31. Mostly sunny for Tuesday and a high near 44. Rain Tuesday night into Wednesday. Wednesday's high, 45. Right now, 40 degrees.
Thinking of getting a tattoo? But I want to get a tattoo that's unique, you know? I don't want a tattoo like everybody else. So I want to get a tattoo of a blender. A big one on my chest, you know? And when I go to the public pool, take my shirt off, everyone will be spellbound. They'd be like, is that a blender? Born to frappe. I have unusual tattoo ideas. I think someone should get a tattoo of a dozen Easter eggs, but tell the tattoo artist to hide them. You get back in shape, you might find a golden egg.
Hey, we have Denise Lockwood here, founder and editor. And you also clean up the place, right?
Chief cook and bottle washer, as my dad would say.
You also stay janitor. There was, I watched one episode of The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. And they were talking to the guy, Peabody, who ran the local newspaper, the Shinbone Star. And they said, do you own it? Owner, editor, and also I clean up the place at night.
Yes, that is what I do as well.
And yes. I always thought about that when people are the owner. Yep, they also empty the waste paper baskets every night before I leave.
Truth.
So Racine County, for people that don't know what we're talking about, and there are some people that may not, Racine County is... I think you're now the premier news source in Racine.
Oh, you warm my heart.
I mean, we still have the Racine Journal, the Journal Times, but newspaper print isn't what it used to be.
It's a hard business.
Now, there are some papers that still are thriving, like the New York Times, the Washington Post, the New York Post, I don't know if the LA Times, but those papers are still thriving. People want to read those. It's just not, think times change.
It has. And actually, local news has changed considerably. And, I spent my first half of my career in newspaper land. I wrote for the Kenosha News 3 times. It was like the bad boyfriend. I love everybody that works at the Kenosha News. And it's just a hard business. It's a really hard business. But Racine County I has been around since 2013. But we had the most traffic on the news website in January. We had over 220,000 human beings on the website. And so we are super grateful that people trust us.
Gives you a little bit of power, doesn't it? to know that 220,000 people
crazy to
are
me.
Waiting to hear what your thoughts are.
You know, I go back to my little 11-year-old self when I was, my mom took me on the, what we dubbed the peanut butter and jelly tour. And we went to Ireland and England. And in England, I was at Shakespeare's house. I was all of 11 years old. I was a tiny little bugger. I'm standing at the in the doorway of Shakespeare's house and I'm thinking, man, he was short and he was a good writer. I'm short. I can be a good writer. And therefore, my fall happened.
I actually wrote for a newspaper.
Yeah.
When I was 13 years old, I the local paper in town was the Massapequa Post. Still around. And everybody wanted to read it because they wanted to see who went to jail.
Yeah.
They had the police thing on there. You want to see which neighbors and people you went to school with are now in prison. And so and they had all that stuff. Who died?
And, and for a long time in my career, that's what I did a lot in, of in community journalism was show up to school board meetings, common council meetings, cover the police blotter. Yeah, I've written quite a few criminal complaints in my day, and I don't do that. We don't. We've actually backed off a lot on our news reporting on crime only because we have so much more of the market that is already doing that. And that's not where my heart is. I want to make sure that we're doing some deeper dives, some, you know.
So anyway, in the Massapequa Post, I said, you don't have a movie reviewer. I'd like to be your movie reviewer. And the guy said, well, I write an article for me. But we don't want to do movie reviews here, but write an article for me. So I did. This was when the rating system had just come out in 1968, GMRX, G-M-R-X. M was mature audiences, then it became GP, then it became PG. And so they were GMRX, GMRX. And I wrote an article about it, and they published it in the Massapequa Post. My brother took a picture of me. Remember, these were only film cameras, so you had to run up and get it developed. And you better hope that picture came out because there were no second takes on it. You know?
Yeah, right.
You had a roll of film. So we took a picture of me in the living room against a white wall. It was awful. And they posted it. They put it in the Massapequa Post. And people say, I read your article in the Massapequa Post on the movie rating system. Because nobody had ever heard of the rating system. It just came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was my very first published and my last published article in the paper. There are some articles written about me. I was on the front cover of the Journal Times.
Really?
Yes, the day I got fired from WRJN.
Oh, no.
That really was on the front page. I have a copy of it.
That's hard.
Yeah,
that's
only
hard.
One job in all my radio career I was fired from, and it was this job.
And now you're back.
Now we're back.
How lucky are we to like have
bad,
a Don Rosen?
It's like a bad penny. You can't get rid of it, right?
Better than having a bad boyfriend. That's
oh, yeah.
It's going back to the Kenosha. And it was, it's a hard business. It really is. And so when I got laid off, you know, the editor, he cried, I cried like a baby. But it really was the impetus that I needed to do Racine County I, because I ended up going back to school and I got a graduate certificate in advanced professional writing and web content development. And my husband tells me and likes to remind me that I was a interwebs hater. And now I'm not.
You were a web hater. Now,
yes,
embraced it.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that's where a lot of people are getting their news from.
It is.
Good or bad, you know, when they say, well, I get most of my news from Instagram and Facebook. No, no, no. You're getting opinions on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
You're not getting news. You're getting people's opinions on those sites. You have to go to a site that's got some control on it. And, you know, Racine County guys got a control on the news, so you don't just print everybody's opinion and just call it
well,
news.
Well, and fact-checking is such a huge issue.
And they got rid of that on Facebook.
Yeah, that's...
The fact-checkers are gone.
But they did. And I belong to I was part of the Facebook Journalism Project, so the professional organization that I belong to, which is fabulous, they partnered with Facebook, and so that has been one of the big issues that we've had is distribution of our news. So even Facebook, I don't get me down the rabbit hole on that part of it. That's not what I wanted to talk a lot about. But
we're going to get to all the news stories in a moment.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's a hard business.
It is. You know, every time I think of you, I think of that. You probably never watched the TV series, The Adventures of Superman, with Jimmy Olsen, Lois Lane, Clark Kent. And every time they went somewhere, every week they investigated the new crook that was taking over Metropolis. And it was the same actors every week, the crooks. And he'd say, hey, we've got those nosy reporters here.
Yes. Yes.
Sticking their nose into our business. Those right? Nosy reporters.
Yeah.
you're that Lois Lane, that nosy reporter. It was that another one, nosy one. Clark Kent and Jimmy Olsen. The great Metropolitan newspaper had only three reporters on it. Lois Lane, Clark Kent, and Jimmy Olsen. And he was
they were working like a dog.
And he was a cub reporter.
Right.
He wasn't even,
a real-time big reporter.
Yeah, he was like an intern type. Right. Okay. And Perry White. But those are the only three reporters you ever saw in that great Metropolitan newspaper.
The big building, yes.
The
yes.
Daily Planet.
Yep.
Hey, more with, we're going to talk about some hot stories, and we're going to talk about what's going to Thrive Expo, the Wellness Expo, coming at Home and Wellness Expo coming up to, I used to be in radio.
You used to be.
Home and Wellness Expo coming to, it's Memorial Hall, right?
Correct.
Not Festival Hall. A lot of people are asking, did you mean to say Festival Hall? No, I meant to say Memorial Hall. Okay, so we're going to talk more about that coming up in a moment at 7:16 at WRJN, local news, timeless hits. Let's check in with Pete.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have two children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hospice Alliance's care team includes trained volunteers who share their time and talent to help carry out our mission of providing quality and compassionate care. Our volunteers offer support from companionship and respite time to running errands and office work and so much more. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about assisting in Hospice Alliance's mission. Visit hospicealliance.org.
Fountain Hills Apartments presents Mary's Unique Boutique Spring Shopping Spree. Thursday, March 20th, noon till 4. Shop for spring or Easter. Be one of the first 10 non-resident shoppers and get a $25 pick and save gift card. Take a tour of the newly renovated 1 and 2 bedroom apartments and be entered in a drawing for a $100 pick and save gift card. Sign a 15-month lease and get 1 month free rent. Fountain Hills Apartments, 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Mount Pleasant.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Everyone looks forward to the weekend, and at WRJN, we're no different. Saturday morning features Rick Johnson with his Capsule Countdown. 10 songs with a common theme, counted down in rapid-fire fashion at 8:30 and 9:30. Terry Hovel with Rock and Roll Never Forgets from 10 to 2. And Sunday morning, Lou Regani features the music of the stars from 7 till noon. It's the perfect weekend soundtrack. WRJN.
Denise Lockwood is here from Racine County Eye and WRJN, working with Racine County Eye right now to uncover the news. We have more nosy reporters around town than we ever did before, sticking their nose in everybody's business.
It's true.
You nosy reporter.
I am a nosy reporter.
And that's curious. The best kind.
You know, very early on in my career, I realized, like, what is my relationship to my sources? And I came up with this little shtick. It was like, I'm not your cheerleader, but I'm not your enemy. I just basically want to make sure I'm telling the truth.
Oh, that's good.
And don't lie to me, because if I find out, then we're going to have issues.
We're going to be in a bad place.
You don't want to be in a bad place.
With you.
You got to just keep showing up. Go walk through the fire with me.
Now, when you get sources for the news,
you
tell them you're anonymous. Nobody will ever know.
I have in the past, yes. And that is something that is becoming a little more frequent. But at the end of the day, it's one of those things where you want to make sure you're getting the highest and best information. So I have some sources that are like, hey, I just want to talk to you on background. I don't want to be quoted. You can use the information I'm giving you. Basically what we do is I'm not using that information in the story per se, but I'm using it to have a better conversation with official sources that will go on the record with me.
Okay, some of the big stories, and it's education.
Yeah.
Money. I mean, in the news, they're slashing the Department of Education.
Well, I mean, there's a caveat.
Everything.
So there's what is said in the executive orders, and it's a lot. So I get the official communications from the White House, and it's a lot of, you have to understand process and procedure. You know, they are not shutting down the Department of Education, and it's going to be take an act of Congress. However,
but that's what they wanted to do.
No, that is one of the things that is an executive order. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's happened. But the question that I have and the responsibility that I have is, if this is something that is part of the agenda on the national level and it has a significant impact on my community, I have an obligation to talk to the folks that are impacted to understand, if this happens, what does this mean to us? What does it look like, live like, breathe like in real life? Because I think the power of local journalism has the capacity to do that. Now, it is hard work, my friends, but it's one of those things that we have picked several different storylines with education, immigration, the economy, and that's what we want to make sure that we're doing. So the Racine Unified School District is already facing $20 million structural deficit, right? So they're asking for $190 million referendum. And it's basically to keep things its status quo over the next 5 years. And so that's one of the things that they want to make sure that they have the capacity to do. And the kicker is that the funding structure at the state level is what led us to this car crash, okay? And so the way that we fund state or public schools, I should say, has been fundamentally flawed for quite some time, and there needs to be some better discussions around state policy around funding schools. And at the same time, this is one of the reasons why these stories are so important. We've got what's called the reconciliation period for the federal budget. So there are a number of bills that are being floated out there that will have a significant impact from the U.S. Department of Education is in charge of things like the IDEA, which is the special education funding, which is a significant amount of money. They, Racine Unified Schools District, receives about $33 million a year, not just from the U.S. Department of Education, but also from the USDA to fund school lunches, things along that line.
You know, and everybody, when they talk about cuts, the first thing people say, how does this affect me?
Right.
That's what everyone wants. If it doesn't affect me, well, I don't really care about it. Everything affects you. And then all these cuts they're doing in Washington and all these departments, it will filter down to you eventually.
Very quickly. Yeah. Very quickly. And this is one of the reasons why I thought long and hard around, should we be doing this work? Because it's not work we typically at the local level would do.
But it's going to filter down to the local level.
But these discussions have to happen. So here's what this looks like, lives like, feels like. So here's an example. One of the things that is currently being discussed is the community eligibility program. Now, that's a very bureaucratic name for how the school lunch program is delivered, right? So the community eligibility program was started quite a few years ago. I want to say it was 2017, 2016. But basically, it is the requirement for parents to fill out whether or not they are eligible from an income standpoint for free and reduced lunches. Okay. And back during COVID, they increased the threshold from for people who would be eligible. And basically what that meant was if a school district had a certain percentage of kids that qualified for this program, the entire school got free and reduced lunches. All right. And the Racine Unified School District receives about $10 million in free and reduced lunches that are going to schools. Now, what's going to happen in the discussion around this? Now, this is not a signed, sealed, and delivered situation. So it's what they're talking about is changing that threshold. So if a school district is above 60% participation, they will maintain that. Racine Unified is at 62% participation. So if they drop below that 60%, they would no longer receive that. Now,
but people don't know this stuff. Oh, you're telling
them.
I
know. That's why I'm telling them.
Right, hold on. We're going to continue right there in just a moment. I mean, this is stuff that nobody thinks about.
Right.
They think about letting their kid go to school every day, but they don't think of the little details and the numbers. And
well, that's the nerd part of me that likes to do that.
All right. More with Denise Lockwood from Racine County Eye coming up in a moment at WRJN. But first, we got Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story. For those who were in their teens, when our century was also in its teens, there was a hero, the Piano Man, a gifted musician. His stage was the big city music shop or the music department of a department store. His playing attracted customers, but there was more to his magic than that. He could play on demand any sheet music in the store, old arrangements and new, perfect the first time through. To wide-eyed youngsters, his skill was artistry, and so the dream was perpetuated. Maybe someday I'll be a piano man, too. One of those eager young listeners was Ray. At 14, Ray was already a competent pianist. His mother, a piano teacher, had guided him through the early discipline, technical study, classical repertoire. And yet for Ray, at 14, there was really only one dream, to become a piano man, like the ones he'd seen at Woolworth and Kresge in downtown Chicago. The summer after his freshman year in high school, Ray was determined to make his dream come true. One way or another, he was going to make money playing the piano. By the age of 17, he had dropped out of high school, was taking piano jobs as they came. Played with a band at Pawpaw Lake in Michigan. And then there was a dime a dance pavilion called the Edgewater. Ray even played rinky dink in a bordello until he found out what was going on upstairs. And then when the teenage piano man was about to emerge from his teens, He had a job as a music director for a suburban Chicago radio station, WGES, and he played piano, and he arranged music and accompanied singers and hired musicians. He hired musicians. One evening, two fellows came into the radio station. Their names were Sam and Henry. They sang and told jokes. Would Ray give them a job? Their singing was terrible, said Ray, but their jokes were amusing. He hired them for $5 apiece, wondering almost immediately thereafter why he had done so. Well, time showed him why. For while Sam and Henry were nobodies in 1922, while they had no experience and less professional polish, they did possess that little something that makes the big difference, the indiscernible spark of genius. Sam and Henry eventually made it big. And in the wake of their success, Ray, the young music director, who had instinctively recognized their potential, realized his greater ability. Without that special star quality, the most Ray could have for himself was to be a middling piano man. What Ray had going for him was the special ability to recognize talent in others. You see, Sam and Henry, the two raw recruits Ray recruited into radio, rearranged and refined their act eventually to become legendary. But it was Ray, the young musician, the teenager destined to obscurity as a piano man, who, recognizing talent in the raw, launched two unknown entertainers on their way to stardom. And later in 1954, with that same uncanny ability, recognized something special about a couple of California brothers named McDonald, making hamburgers. He also made their names more famous than his own. His own name was Ray Kroc, the discoverer of Amos and Andy, the godfather of McDonald hamburgers. And now you know the rest of the
story. I'll finish that line for him. And, of course, we've got another rest of the story coming up, 12:05. Dan Marcus has that this afternoon. If you want to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular radio shows ever to air on WRJN, call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. We have Denise Lockwood in studio. And first, before we get back to Denise, we've got the news, we've got the farm report, we've got some weather, we've got everything coming up right now at 7:31. Let's see what's happening locally. Once again, here at Stewart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. One of the victims of that home explosion in Racine is already out of the hospital. Another is making progress. Tim LaPointe was released from the hospital. His daughter, Michelle Hawes, underwent skin graft surgery for more severe burns. The family has yet to visit the damaged home on Gilson Street. Neighbors rushed in after the explosion to save the two before the place went up in flames. An investigation continues into what happened. The world's oldest continuously operating motor speedway has an old friend joining them this year. The Milwaukee Mile will host the Snap-on Milwaukee Mile 250 weekend in August. The Kenosha-based tool manufacturer Snap-on is the new title sponsor, and it comes after a successful return of IndyCar racing to the mile last year. A fatal house fire in Union Grove last week claimed the life of a contractor. 38-year-old Jeffrey Paradise, a construction company owner from Black River Falls, was renovating the property last Thursday. First responders found his body after putting out the fire that broke out at around 8 that night. The Racine County Sheriff's Office is investigating the incident. They say space heaters were found in the room he was sleeping in. The exact cause of the fire and his death are yet to be determined. There's been a lot made about how new federal policies could impact us locally. There are some wondering if the Great Lakes could be impacted. You can go deeper on the story today at RacineCountyEye.com. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
It might be a little early to say farmers are excited about the growing season of 2025, but they should get excited about some of the research that will be happening. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Jonathan Gibbs is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. He's also a grower himself from the Fox Lake area. He said during their recent board meeting, they approved research projects right here within our borders that are designed to help improve the return on investment for Wisconsin soybean growers in a couple different ways.
as far-fetched as it kind of sounds, we're looking at a project that's using, you know, maybe microphones to listen for insects. And, you know, can we, is that something we could deploy out in the field and use in our crop management to predict when we're going to have insect issues or when we need to treat or something like that? So we're always looking at, you know, or trying to chew stuff, but we're trying to stay on the cutting edge of research, too.
Jonathan Gibbs, president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, he said many of the research projects they've approved are multi-year projects, all designed to try to continue to pull results together that improve Wisconsin farmers' bottom line and their overall production. Markets coming your way in just a moment.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained a penny and a half to $1.80. 40-pound block cheese stood still, finished the week at $1.90, while the AA butter dropped 0.75 cents to $2.41.5 per pound. Just a quick reminder, we've got the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin annual business meeting on the horizon. Mark the dates down, won't you? March 12th and 13th. It's back at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. For details, go to pdpw.org. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing connected to Wisconsin agriculture. Simple to do. Just submit your email address at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
With your forecast, good morning, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, we'll have partly sunny skies, a little breezy out of the southwest, and highs in the mid-40s. Slight chance of rain tonight, partly cloudy, 31. Mostly sunny for Tuesday, and a high near 44. Rain Tuesday night into Wednesday, Wednesday's high 45. Right now, 40 degrees.
Hotel, I'm saying that kids stay for free. No problem if you have kids, bring them. They won't charge you a penny more. That wasn't the case when I was growing up. Apparently, kids were so expensive that when you pulled in to the hotel and you'd all start getting out, my dad would start kicking some of us back in. Get back in there. Get back in. Duck down. Did the front desk lady see you? Did the front desk lady? Did you make eye contact with the front desk lady? I'm not spending an extra $6 a kid. What did I say? Now we gotta wait for a shift change. Put your brother in that hockey bag. I'm gonna sneak him in that way. I got kicked out of my house all the time. As a kid, usually like around 7 in the morning when my dad would get home from work, he would just wake us up. And we go, what are we getting up for? And you go, I heard it's gonna be a nice day outside. Get outside. Dad, it's like 7. It's still dark out. I remember once walking to the door, turning my dad, going, Dad, what are we supposed to do when we get outside? I'll never forget. He goes, dig a ditch. Okay. And you know what, though? We went outside and we played. And we played for 12, 13, 14 hours. Easy. But I got to tell you something. I'm a little kid. I'm gone 12, 13, 14 hours. I don't remember anybody coming looking for me. I'm gone 14 hours. No Amber Alert goes off. I come home at night. All my dad says, you in for the night? Nope, just getting a flashlight.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
That's so true, though. Your kid has gone 14 hours now. Amber Alerts go out. It's all over.
Yep. Don't do something constructive.
14 hours, there's no Amber Alert.
There was none.
I used to stay out in front of my house. We had a core of six kids. We had some others mingle occasionally, but the core was six. And during the summer, we're out there till 10:30 by the light post outside, telling stories, doing stuff.
Yeah.
There was no cell phones or anything, so you just tell stories. I never once remember my mother saying, you know, where is Donald? Where?
Yeah, that was not in Lockwood Land. That was same. So there was, go do something constructive. Yeah. And there was like, so there were always chores, obviously, because I grew up on a farm. And that was just the way things were. I barrel raised horses. And so that was one of the things that he was trying to pull me in. I was out there till like sometimes 10:30 at 11.
I never remember my mother coming out and saying, I don't know where Donald is.
They didn't care. They didn't care.
I think back now, and I remember the first time I was saying, I'm going to Manhattan to go see a movie at Radio City Music Hall. I think I was like 13 years old. In fact, I was 13 years old. And I was like, okay, have a good day. I mean, I'm walking around one of the most dangerous cities on the planet.
Yeah, she said, yeah. All right.
Go take the train and have a good day. We'll see you when you get home tonight. I mean, she didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm sure she cared, but what are you going to do?
There wasn't this mass.
There's no way to check up on me. There's no cell phones.
Right.
That was funny. Okay, so we left off with Denise Lockwood is here from Racine County. We talked about education, money.
Yeah, we're in for a bumpy ride and some big questions, right? So you've got a lot of pressure just with the structural deficit that Racine Unified is facing. And it's not just Racine Unified. Actually, over half of the school districts in the state of Wisconsin went to referendum or are going to referendum or having a referendum. So the funding formula is definitely a question. And how do we fund schools? And there's a big graphic that Racine Unified is using. And it's basically we have kind of shorted the number of dollars that are being sent to the school districts by several thousand dollars per child for a number of years. And the expenses haven't kept up with inflation. And that's one of the things that is the argument now. How you feel about that is up to you. Denise doesn't tell you how to feel. Doesn't tell you. Just giving the information.
Right? I like the way you talk about yourself in the third person.
Yes, yes, yes.
Denise doesn't tell you.
Denise doesn't tell you.
So, and again, we talked about this earlier. People want to know, how does this affect me? Everything affects you.
Right.
It may not be instant, and you may not recognize how it affects you. But we were talking about the farm report that we air here at WRJN. And they were telling us months ago, you know, chickens are being killed off. Your eggs are going to be more expensive. And people say, yeah, right. Well, now you got $8, $9 carton of eggs. But they were telling you that on the farm report. And people didn't think, how's this going to affect? They're killing chickens. What do I care if they're killing chickens? I go to Chick-fil-A. It all comes to affect you because now you're paying more for the eggs.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of pressure agriculture-wise. So, fun fact, Mr. Rosen, Denise started her entire journalism career writing for the Firelands Farmer newspaper.
Well, you grew up on a farm.
In Ohio, yeah. So agricultural reporting is kind of a very big place in my heart. And I haven't done it for a very long time. But one of the things that I was like looking at what the federal government was thinking about with the school lunch program. And I'm like, how is that going to impact farm? Because all of those contracts come through the U.S. Department of Agriculture and they get purchased from local farms. Okay. Yes. So the deer in the headlights look that you just gave me, that's what we're dealing with right now. So I want to understand, how does this policy also impact agriculture? How does it also impact food production? The companies that make the automated equipment that actually make some of that are used in these factories to make the food. How does that impact things, especially in the context of like the tariffs that are on aluminum and steel? That impacts us huge here in Racine County because we have the western part of the county is agriculture. And the East End is manufacturing. We make the farm tractors, we make the engines, we make all of those components coming to, actually a lot of it is made in other countries like China or Canada or Mexico. And these tariffs are a big concern to not only farmers, but manufacturers, right? So we need to have some really strong voice of reason in how does this this policy making, and I'm not talking politics, I'm talking policies. How does that impact me here? How does it impact my child getting free and reduced lunches? Because we have over 70% of the Racine Unified School District kids of the 15,000 that go there qualify for free and reduced lunches.
What does a lunch cost in a school today?
I think it's about $4.
So if I want to go in and buy a hot lunch and I'm a student, how much does that cost me for
Don't quote me on this, but I, from my understanding and in my memory, and I might be wrong, so bear with me, but I think it's about $4 per lunch. They can't charge any more than the cost.
I don't want to sound like my grandfather when I was little. When I was a kid, I don't want to sound like that, but I paid 35 cents for a hot lunch, and if you just wanted the milk, it was 3 cents.
Back
you can't believe
day.
How many kids couldn't come, oh, no, my 3 cents. My mother couldn't find 3 cents. Your mother couldn't find three pennies in the house? But that was it. There were some kids that
They're getting rid of the pennies, too.
So now it's got to go. But it was 3 cents for milk. And I remember the lunch lady, she had all these big cartons of milk.
Right.
And you got online, and if you just wanted the milk, you go down that line, and she could give me 3 cents. Here's your carton. Here's 3 cents.
Right.
No straw.
No straw.
Those were extra, if you want. But here's something else I talked about recently, because a friend of mine works for Domino's, and he said they had to do a recall on some of the chicken because it was with some peanut-based stuff they used in there, so they had to get rid of it. When I went to school, you had a choice with your hot lunch meal. Do you want bread and butter or peanut butter and bread?
Mm.
I never remember it coming up that it was a problem. It just, did we just develop peanut allergies since? But it was always there, peanut butter. You had your choice, and you grabbed it, and it was always... Everything was wide open. They would just keep making these little, one side pumpernickel, one side white bread, and you got butter or you had peanut butter in there. And I just never remember being a problem. Now you can't even have it within a 40-mile radius of the school. I don't know.
So one of the things that is going to happen in the conversation around this is that a lot of the things that the federal government has done in the past are going to be kind of diverted to states, right? So that's one of the things that in Governor Evers' budget was the school lunches, is that he's proposing $158 million in spending around making sure that kids have free and reduced lunches. Now, there's also a question of why are we feeding kids free and reduced lunches, right? A lot of it is because the statistically we know that kids who have full bellies learn better, right? But there's also the problem around food deserts in Racine. The city of Racine has a very large food desert now that Save-A-Lot is gone from State Street. Mm. So getting access to fresh food is a problem. And also... So there's no infrastructure. Now, you can have feelings about what you think should or should not happen, but a lot of the social issues that we have struggled with as community are now falling onto and been placed as responsibility for schools. Because if you want kids to learn better, they have to have some food in their belly.
So I pass that all the time to Save-A-Lot. It was near the McDonald's, right opposite Walgreens around State Street. It's all closed down. I'd have shopped there anyway, but people relied on that.
They did, but
it was a neighborhood community place for people. So not everybody's got a car to go drive to Pick and Save or wherever.
Right.
You have to go where you can walk to, and they get rid of that. And so where do these people go now? Where do they walk?
Well, and if you don't have a car,
where do you go?
And so, that means you have to get on a bus and go get your groceries, or maybe you're walking, or maybe you're going with a friend, or, but at the end of the day, the responsibility, and I think there's some questions that as community that we need to start asking now, because these types of decisions will, if the moons happen, like if the state picks up the tab, that means that's on the state budget, right? And that's another taxpayer funded thing. So you've just moved the line item. You moved it from the federal line item to the state line item. Okay. And so, the other option is you put it back on the parents, right? And that's another line item that school and the other piece of this, from an agricultural standpoint, and I really want to emphasize this a lot because I want to work more on stories. So if you're a farmer and you're being impacted by any of these potential policies, that I want to talk to you so badly. But the tariffs, the farm subsidies are also another piece to this that are being discussed, and it was in Project 2025. It was in Agenda 47. Those are the policies that are now being discussed as the farm bill gets discussed now. And so these farm subsidies, the current agricultural system cannot take more than a 1% hit on demand. So if you're reducing the school lunch program, the footprint of who pays for it, who buys it, that's $12 billion with a B of spending on farm production. And my question is, can the farm economy sustain that?
Before we go to break here, one thing about school lunches, I remember, when you used to sit down with your hot lunch, all the kids at the table started, we're going to trade you this for this. We're going to take your dessert. Right. So you want, and I felt bad because the kids who really didn't stand up for themselves wind up with a plate of broccoli and peas and all the sandwiches, the meats, the desserts were all taken.
Canned peaches.
Yeah, everything was taken off there because people were swapping with you.
I did not get the pizza. I never got the pizza.
Everybody started taking stuff off your tray. Yeah. I want this. You'll trade for this. I'll give you the vegetable. Give me your chocolate pudding and here you go.
I had the fresh green beans, which I hate green beans. Yes.
Yeah. We're talking to Denise Lockwood from Racine County. We're going to talk about the expo coming up this weekend. It's the moment here at WRJN, local news, timeless hits. Sunny today, partly sunny, at least highs near 50. Whoa. Looking for a chance of rain, a slight chance of rain tonight, lows around 32. Morning fog tomorrow, then sunny with a high near 45. It's 41 and sunny right now at Radio Park.
Hi, this is Mike at your CBD store in Racine. We are sharing the love, no strings attached. Just schedule an appointment to receive a free $200 wellness kit February 27th through March 2nd. It's our way of saying thanks for prioritizing your wellness journey. Appointments are filling up fast, so call your CBD store on the corner of Highway 31 and Spring Street in Racine or visit us on Facebook. If you stop in and schedule your appointment, you will receive a 7-day clinically proven sleep gummy.
That's 1 week free on me.
Whether you're tinkering in your garage or tackling big projects, if you know the value of working with your hands, you know Harbor Freight. And you can be confident knowing that at Harbor Freight, you can get quality tools at prices that work just as hard as you do. Because the only thing more satisfying than a job well done is a job well done, well under budget. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
Hey, this is WRJN General Manager Chris Morrow. We're getting geared up to be out and around the Racine community this spring and summer. A lot. And we're looking for some help. Are you somebody who could help us set up tables, tents, and hang banners in early evenings and on some weekends? We'd like to talk to you about a part-time position helping to promote the radio station and meet our listeners. If you have the ability to set up an awkward tent, carry some tables, hang some banners, we'd like to meet. Give us a call at 634-3311 during business hours and we'll set up a time to talk. 634-3311. That's WRJN looking for some weekend and evening help this spring and summer. Maybe it's you. Come join the fun as we continue to bring local news and timeless hits to Racine on WRJN.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Pivots,
fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts on a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk! Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Denise Lockwood, Racine County, I is here. You have some big event coming up this weekend. It is called the Thrive Home and Wellness Expo. It's at Memorial Hall. That's the big theater type. Not festival, but Memorial Hall, and right next to the library. And it's coming up this weekend. And Thrive.
Yeah.
Where'd that name come from?
Me.
You got that? Thrive.
I wanted. Okay. So the intention behind this event is really to help people live a better life, right? That's what journalism, I think, done well does. And so we were looking for opportunity to really elevate some of the stories and the community around healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? That concept of thriving in a community and really connecting with businesses and content around home and wellness, because I think we really need help and support in that. So Racine County, out of the 72 counties in Wisconsin, is number 62 in our health rankings. That is not okay, in my humble opinion. But what I want to do to make sure that we're connected is by having this event called Thrive Home and Wellness. And it's really anchored not just on windows, gutters, and doors, but it's also like, how are we helping people? You're going to love this. One of my staff members, we had a meeting Friday, and we were like, what do we need to like make sure that people understand how unique this is? So we are having one of the hearing companies, Vita Hearing, they're going to do hearing tests on site. So if you bring your husband and you're not sure he's hearing you about, honey, we need to do this, you can get his hearing checked.
Yeah, I didn't hear when you said we had to put new doors on. I never heard that. When did you tell me that?
You're welcome, wives everywhere.
It also works the other way. I got news
that's
for
true.
You.
That's true.
You know what my wife does, though, sometimes? She talks from, I'm like in the kitchen, and she's in one of the bedrooms. And so we're the bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, and she doesn't talk loud. I didn't hear what you said. Where were you? About like three rooms away. What are you talking?
Well, now you can get the hearing test. Now, here's the other thing that we're having. We're also having three panel discussions each day. So it goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday and from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. And you're going to want to stick around. And here's why. Is at the end of the show on each day, we're going to have Fred Astaire dance. They're going to do a demonstration.
Dancing with the Stars.
I know. And it's going to be fun. Now, like, and that's really great for your heart health, right? That is one of the leading causes
You're absolutely
of death
right.
in Racine County.
And that's why they have these Zumba classes on the yeah. beach. It gets everything moving. My wife and I just bought a membership to the Racine Zoo.
Nice.
And the reason we did it was to walk the inside perimeter of the zoo.
Oh,
it's 6/10 of a mile. Do it once, twice. It's 1.2 miles. We used to walk at the Pike River Parkway. And that's about 1.7 miles around. But there, if you're halfway through, you got to walk, you know, you're tired. You got to walk back because your car's at the other end.
Right.
With the zoo, you're never that far away from your car.
Hey.
Plus, you get to look at some interesting animals. The Arctic foxes were out there this winter when we're walking, and they were outside and enjoying the sub-zero temperatures. That's what we do to help us stay in shape. We do walking.
That's absolutely fabulous.
When I had a dog, I walked my dog every day, but the dog's not with me anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't walk him.
Oh.
So we don't have that anymore. But this is, you know. People, you get one shot at your body, folks.
They do. And I have congestive heart failure. I know you have heart issues, too. You know, being able to take care of your heart is such a huge undertaking sometimes, and it can be kind of daunting. But why not have fun with it, right? But the other piece of it at one of our panel discussions is how to buy a first-time home in this market that is so crazy. There's not a lot of affordable housing. And so we're going to have a panel discussion around how to buy foreclosed homes and how to navigate some of that process. And we're also having a panel discussion on mindfulness. So it's kind of a dual purpose event. And I'm really excited that we're partnering with 5K events on this, because it is such a great venue.
And they're good people. We've had them in here before.
Yeah.
Kevin
McDougal.
Kevin McDougal, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is March 1st and 2nd. That's Saturday and Sunday. Correct. March 1st and 2nd. Start off the month getting wellness. March 1st and 2nd, and it's $2 at the door.
Or it's free if you bring a canned good so that we can donate it to the Racine County Food Bank.
And they're not looking for World War II surplus food.
Non-perishable items that are within their expiration date, right? Yeah.
Well, this only expired in 1982. It should still be good. Forget the bulging sides of the can. Well, this is good. And let me repeat that one more time just so everybody knows. It's called the Thrive Home and Wellness Expo. It's at Memorial Hall, not Festival, Memorial Hall. And it's this weekend, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day.
Yes.
Right? 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Wait,
10 a.m. on
Saturday.
On Saturday.
10 to 3
Correct.
On Sunday.
And make sure you stay till the end of the show because it's going to be fun. You know, we're going to have that dance demonstration.
The big reveal.
It's going to be fun. I'm super excited about it.
I always said the toughest reality show to be on TV is not Survivor. It's not Big Brother. It's Dancing with the Stars because it's live. And if you can't dance, the world is going to see it.
That's true.
And there's no editing. There's no going back and doing a redo, a mulligan. I mean, you're kind of stuck with a bad dance. That's a tough thing to do, Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. And that's why they can't get people on there. Because no big name actors.
It's not a thing I would ever do.
Right. And no big name actor is going to ruin their career on Dancing with the Stars. So they get these internet influencers who go on there all the time. And that's why the show dropped because I never heard of any of these people on there.
Right.
Or they get a sports star who needs some extra money and they'll go on Dancing with the Stars. But
now I would take lessons in a heartbeat, but I just wouldn't be on the show. Right. That would be. But I would still dance with my husband any day.
Ladies and gentlemen, get the English guy to do this. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Denise Lockwood and her husband, Handsome Man. What do you call it? You have a name for
him? Mr. Denise.
Mr. Denise.
With love.
Mr. and Mrs. Denise. Thank you, Denise. Thank you very much for coming. Right. Denise Lockwood,
Racine
County. RacineCountyEye.com, and that's EYE.